Boom! Did you hear that? Boom! That is the cannon fodder of Wet and Wild Wednesday. How is everybody doing? My name is Matt. Sometimes I go by the Grass Factor. Bye! Hi, everyone. Welcome to our show. For those of you that are tuning in for the first time, this is our weekly show where we come in and sometimes we invite guests on. Other times we take questions from the community. Today is a question from the community type of show. And if you do have questions, we ask you put them into the chat or you can mail us at mail@thegrassfactor.tv. Ben Worthman says YouTube is not working. I don't believe you.
He's a dirty liar.
Call IT. Call
Ben. I don't believe you. Yeah. That's right. He is another IT guy. There's a couple caveats here. We'll get a little bit of the lawyer speak out of the way. Number one is, please understand, we are human. We are fallible. We do make mistakes. So if you put a question into the chat, you put a question into the email, and we answer it live on the air, fact check everything we say. We're doing this all live, stream of consciousness. We are talking amongst each other in the background simultaneous to all this. Some people are reaching out to us directly in the middle of all this. And so there's a lot going on that isn't obvious to the viewer behind the scenes. The other thing too is just because we are speaking off the cuff, we may say something absolutely crazy. We may be thinking about metsulfuron methyl, and you asked a question about trifloxysulfuron, and all of a sudden we're talking about applying, 5 grams per acre or 500 grams per acre. We don't know. I mean, it gets wet and wild sometimes, right? and then, lastly, if it takes us a minute to get to your question, please understand. that's funny, JPEG. That's a good one. If it takes us a minute to get to your question, please understand that we have some that came in before the show. And then, of course, we're going to answer these first come, first serve. Therefore, it might take us a minute to get to your question. Okay. So just understand it is it's a thing. It's a thing. And we will do the best that we possibly can. That being said, gentlemen, how the hell are y'all doing?
I'll tell you what, I'm doing a hell of a lot better than a 2x4 on a college campus right now. That's for sure.
Yikes.
Not getting that kind of work put in, are you?
No. You're supposed to swing the hammer, not the 2x4. I think somebody needs to tell these people that.
It is bouncing off
that's
faces.
That's the first lesson. Yeah, that's the first lesson right there, Matt.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody in human history has nailed a nail in with the 2x4, right? I mean, surely that's...
I have done that. With a section of 2x4 hammered in another nail with it, I have. And I'm not even going to lie about it.
What are you going to do with all those rough cuts, that scab lumber that you got sitting around?
I know.
Hammer stuff with it,
Or yourself, depending on your day.
You take it and you go on a little camping excursion down there at the quad. I don't know. Start saying.
Makes for perfect heat fuel. Sometimes you could put that at your feet and pour gasoline on yourself. I probably can't say that on YouTube either.
But you can't go in there and heat up all the meals that get brought into you. I don't know if you've ever tried to cook.
DoorDashed?
No. I was going to say, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but if you have, when you cook avocado toast with pressure treated lumber, the aroma it gives off is just magical. All right, let's get to the questions.
DoorDash, feeding the revolutionaries. Okay.
All right. Yikes, we'll get
into this.
And of course,
last question. How many meal plan swipes do you have to get taken off to burn the library down? Is that 4 swipes? Chicken tendies are only 3 swipes, so it's got to be at least 4.
Yikes.
Sounds like humanitarian aid to me.
And nobody's worried about how I'm doing because I'm always good.
I don't know about that, right? Good. Zup E says, how do you guys deal with Poetriv in cool season lawns? All right, here's a couple of things, right? So the only post-emergent option available right now is Velocity. We have done a couple of segments on Velocity. It is not risk-free. The timing of it is an absolute nightmare. It's newly formulated. It's back out. It's incredibly expensive. Are you probably going to get it your first season using it? No. So there's an ROI to factor in there. There will be also glyphosate is your friend in this scenario. But do understand that even glyphosate is not 100% effective, and you're not going to get it in a single season either. You can attempt to suppress it or hide it with growth regulators, particularly. What is the one from New Farm Valent? I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, a new.
Well, that's
remember
a new.
What,
oh,
yeah,
a new. Oh, sorry.
Remember what Paul Outlaw does to his poor Triv and poor Annua? He just,
yep,
in the spring, growth regulates the shit out of it.
Yep.
And then beats it into submission with a new. And then, I guess, deals with it with an overseed in the fall. I mean, that's about right. And I'm going to tell you one more thing about poor Triv is that the other way you can deal with it, and this is going to get totally medieval, is get it to show itself with an application of tenacity,
mm-hmm,
and then break out the blowtorch.
And blowtorch it.
Whatever lights up with the tenacity, burn it down.
The other thing too,
Ray says with the look on his face.
I can't say that. The other thing too to be careful with about, we talked about that already at length.
Ray burning down.
When you're trying to
Freudian slip.
Oh my god! I wish that we weren't live right now. I wish that
you are a fucking pussy.
I know I am. I can't say it. This is for the internment camps. Sorry. All right, there I said it. All right. If you use Roundup, if you do use glyphosate to control this, one thing you need to be aware of is that it does go dormant in the heat of the summer and cool season lawns, right? So if you go out there and try and spray this in July, August, sometime like that, you might not kill it because it is not going to be translocating herbicides very well at that time in the heat. So this is a spraying and let it sit and make sure you get it all kind of thing and just look at it and it's ugly and it is what it is, right? It could be spring and you reseed back into it and you take your chances, or it could be late fall and you go that route too. So, and I would say late fall, but by September the stuff should be bouncing back up, cooler nights, nicer days, things like that. So just be wary of the Roundup and when you use it and if you actually killed it or just kind of killed what's up at the top, because it is, guys, it's rhizomatous, right? And it's a huge rhizome producer, and that's really what keeps it going. It sustains a lot of energy for that. So just keep that in mind, is that what you see up top is not the entire plant, and you need to get a good kill.
And with glyphosate, I'll say this. I think somewhere in the past I have done a video where I showed some of the research where spring applications of glyphosate offered like 40 to 60% control, and fall applications offered like 60 to 80% control. So if you think about it, if you have 1,000 square foot of coverage of Poa Triv and you manage to control 80% of it, that means you would have 200 square feet remaining of Poa Triv that may or may not be acceptable to you. So when we talk about this being either a multi-year, multi-application approach, please understand that is what we are talking about. J-Pink said, hey, Dr. Shaddix, it's May. Dr. Shaddix is going to be doing a couple special shows on, because it's Mental Health Awareness Month. It is also AAPI Month. What's up, Ray? And my wife and hey, others that are out there. Anyway, I highly, if you haven't, please go check him out. Turf Epistemology, Epistemology, as I hear him pronounce it. I probably put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable, but it is what it is. But
it's absurd.
But check it. It is absurd. Does he not have the best radio voice? I feel like I need to dial in my radio voice whenever Dr. Shaddix is out there.
It's absurd.
It's absurd.
It's absurd.
It's absurd. It is absurd. Interestingly, too.
How much do you think Dr. Shaddix would charge to read us bedtime stories?
Not
just
enough.
Go on his Calendly. I think if I booked time on the Calendly and just said, "Hey, I'd like you to read me a collection, a smattering of golden books." You know, remember those little ones that had the silver.
My mind went somewhere else. Boy.
No, not golden those books. Ones. Those
okay.
Are, no.
Showers. this one actually, J-Pink, I realized that it was supposed to happen offline, so I'm just giving you a heads up. But wanted to say that one of our listeners and friends, Backwoods Lawn Care up in Canada, is working on a very high powered. I say high powered, a very tailored blend of fescue seed for Canada. And anyway, it was kind of some interesting offline conversations there, and he's got some great ideas. So keep an eye over at Backwoods Lawn Care and check out what he's going to be working on, because that actually, I thought that was actually a pretty good idea. Genetics in Canada, and Canadia, I feel like, is tailored more towards the cannabinoid market and not so much the TNO market, but there is still a TNO market there to be served. So good on him. Or recognize that and jumping on it. The next one here, we have Chris. Outside the fertility suggestions that Waypoint sent me, I was wondering if I can get any advice on the rest of the analysis. I'd be more than happy to pay for your time if needed. A thanks to you, Ray, and Ryan for what you fellas do for the community. You're truly stand-up guys. Stand-up guys is strong. I'm going to go ahead and get that out of the way, Chris. if you want to pay us, go to patreon.com/burnerreturn. Become a member. Check it out. As far as the recommendations made by Waypoint here, I want you to just draw red lines through every recommendation they have. Pretend like it's not there. Pay no attention to it at all. If you need to tear off that section of it, eat it, and then defecate it, feel free. There is 0.0 value of their recommendations. So now that that's out of the way, 3 to 4 pounds of N, we'll say probably if you're in Illinois, 3 would be on the higher end. 3.5 would be on the higher end. However, in terms of everything else you have going on here, much like we have seen in the last couple of weeks, you are only critically deficient in one nutrient and one nutrient alone. You're growing cool season grass in Illinois, so not a huge P and K demand. What does not look good on your soil test is sulfur. You do have a 6.7 pH, so you can do this easily by using ammonium sulfate as your primary nitrogen source. And anything else? I mean, sodium looks good. Look how high his organic matter is. Lord of mercy. He could definitely get away with less than 3 pounds.
Actually, I'm going to say that he could be a guy that could get away with 1.5 to 2 pounds total of N, but that N should be as ammonium sulfate. And this is where I'm going to get a little annoyed, because why is urea pushed as the N source when AMS is often the superior nitrogen source, for the fact that vast regions of the United States are actually sulfur deficient, from the Midwest to the Southeast, sulfur deficient, right, Matt?
Not,
Yeah, they are, because, and you know why we're sulfur deficient? And I know Dr. Shedek's covered this. When the Clean Air Act took effect, that was when all of the coal plants, steel mills, whatever, they all had to remove all sulfur from their exhaust emissions. All of that had to be cleaned up. And so now I realize that I cannot take sulfur for granted as far as a nutrient, because in past times, this was a non-issue because there was enough sulfur coming down in rainwater.
Yeah, there is. There's definitely not enough here. That was 6 parts per million. As we actually heard from people last week were noticing issues with the lawn. And as they went up from 6 parts per million, the rate of issues began to decline. The turf quality increased as you went up. And that's as simple as from 6 to like 8, right? So it's interesting that we see another at 6 here. Wow, it's wild. A couple of weeks in a row, we're seeing them come in a variety of areas too at that low. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Southeast Minnesota, Dan, too, you know. Mm-hmm. All right, our next one here, we have 2024 soil test with relevant historical soil tests if available. Western New York locations, samples labeled front, had supplemental soil delivered for grading before renovation last summer. Feel free to break down as many soil tests as you want. All are non-irrigated. All lawns are cool season mixes with exception of Shore Drive Front and Applewood Front. Shore Drive Front was seeded with Ryan Nor, a fine fescue blend earlier 2023. Applewood Drive Front was renovated to Kentucky Bluegrass or Sprigged Iron Cutter Bermuda. Still on the fence for that decision. All right. Let me open this because we have 10
in New York
soil tests here. Yes, these are all in New York. And I'm... J-Pick, if you open these, I think, you know, maybe just spend 30 seconds on each one. That is basically what I am doing myself. And I'm just starting at the top and working down. Okay. Okay.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Is this?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Okay.
Shore Drive Front.
Okay. All right. Ooh. Hey, look at this. Which one is this?
This is right now,
Heatherdale Chase.
Oh, I was gonna say I don't know if you wanted me to be moving. I guess I misunderstood. I was gonna wait for you to.
No,
tell me to
no,
go to the next
you were good. Keep. Oh, I'm sorry. Just go ahead and keep moving through, and then I'm making a list of ones that I would like to go back and revisit.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
That's okay. Right. Let's see here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh wow.
Oh wow.
We got.
Oh.
We got that. And that. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Okay. All right. Some repeats. Okay. Which one samples label front had supplemental soil delivered? Oh, okay. Okay. So this one had supplemental soil and this one had supplemental soil. Interesting. Because supplemental soil had a much higher pH. Interesting. Okay, J-Pink, the only two of interest to me. Now, everything else. So this is one of those where we're beginning to ride the line of weirdness on potassium, right? So what is, I believe, the MLSN guideline on potassium is what, 30 parts per million, 31 parts 37, per million?
37
mm-hmm. parts per million. If I recall, mm-hmm. in Dr. Woods' research, that he would begin to elicit, you know, I would call these like the wild cards, that you had a potential for potassium being a limited factor in turf quality at about 51 parts per million. And then the probability increases, you drop from there. And then it didn't really become repeatable until, you know, we were at that, you know, 30-ish. Range, right? 30, you know, 20, 28, somewhere in there, right? that being said, on phosphorus, I cannot recall, what is phosphorus? 21 parts per million?
18, I think.
18, and however, that we have seen, I am drawing a blank, what is the name of the professor that drew the P in
Doug Soldat.
Yeah. Doug Soldat has done some research and is seeing the inability to elicit deficiency symptoms in as low as 3 parts per million, right? I believe Dr. Shattuck has also mentioned.
However,
hang on. I know we'll caveat this. Let me finish getting it out. So Shattuck has repeated something similar, and I've actually talked to a professor at Texas A&M that also saw that same situation down there. So not to say that's dogma. However, go ahead, Ray.
However, that was in bent grass greens. Are you growing a bent grass green? Yes or no?
In Texas, it was Bermuda grass, oddly.
Okay, fine. In sand, that's another factor because sand does not have the ability to sequester nutrients. But here, generally, I start to think about my phosphorus levels actually when they're below 50. I start to think about them. And as far as my potassium, I start to think about my potassium levels when they're below 100. I start to kind of think about that. And the reason why I think about those levels is because I'm not talking about a Bermuda grass or bent grass green growing on sand. We are talking about ornamental lawns growing on normal soil.
Yes. So, and I will make this, me personally, if I'm down to 70, 80 parts per million in potassium, my own psychopathy, I'm probably applying K. If I'm down sub 20 on phosphorus, I'm probably applying phosphorus. Okay. And I think that one highlights one that under no circumstance would I just let it ride where I'm managing a customer's lawn unless I was up front with the customer that I am genuinely trying to F around and find out here, right? Like, I'm curious, how low can I collect clippings and how low can I get this until the grass turns purple, okay? I'm not saying that's a good thing to do or the right thing to do because you start turning lawns purple, most customers are going to want to fire your ass. Deservedly fire your ass, right? So,
and there's one more issue. And Matt, I also have to talk to everybody about what I've been told happens to cool season lawns that are run under phosphorus deficient conditions, even though they don't show that classic purple discoloration.
Okay.
I've been alerted to this by Lushy and Brent, actually. What they've told me is that when phosphorus gets to below what I consider deficiency levels or action levels, which to me is under 50 parts per million, you start to get visited by a disease called red thread. So your grass may not be turning purple, but then are you inviting additional problems for yourself? Aside from a higher than MLSN level of phosphorus, are you inviting a problem?
That's a good question that I don't know the answer to. I'll tell you a good place to conduct that research would actually be the Piedmont area. So Virginia, parts of North Carolina, that would be really interesting. What is wild is that I don't particularly see a lot of red thread in my area. However, I have a friend in the Richmond, Virginia area, and it is absolutely insane the amount of red thread they have. I can't say that our P levels are much different, but I will say his soil pHs are a lot lower than mine as well, too. It's interesting. So I don't know. I would definitely like to poke and prod my head around that a little bit more. The other one on DeWitt, J Pink, is I'm just showing a soil K level of 51 parts per million here. You know, a few of these, aside from the front ones that were renovated, were all, you know, a low enough pH that I would consider lime. You know, a 6, am I going to get excited about a lime? No. Raywood, I'm not. It's just our personal preferences there. You know, if I start getting down to like 5.6, 5.5, yeah, I'm definitely going to start effing around with some lime. But you know, it's a matter of preference and what you're used to seeing and what your experience, you know, you feel comfortable with. Then the but here, you know, you see 51 parts per million of potassium. Again, you're knocking on the door of potentially seeing problems that could be attributed to potassium. It's not guaranteed that you're going to. I'm not saying that you better go buy a whole bunch of sulfate of potash, which if you notice here, and the other reason why I want to talk about this, why potassium sulfate as a case source would do you justice, is the fact that, you know, you're also knocking on the door of your soil sulfur level as well too there at 11 parts per million. So just to go ahead and rectify the rectum that's potentially leaky here. Sulfate of potash is your K source. When you apply nitrogen, would be your friend. Do you need to apply 5.5 pounds of K2O as suggested in the soil test here? Absolutely not.
No,
that's absurd.
It's absurd.
That's absurd. Do you need to apply boron because you're at 0.3 parts per million? That's absurd.
It's absurd.
Okay. We got that out of the way. If you, under any circumstance you think you need to apply iron, manganese, or zinc or copper on this lawn, you are smoking crack and not the good one.
I was ready for the challenge.
You should. I don't know. You should eat more peaches and pink tacos and less. Less boron and applying more micronutrients to this lawn. Anyway, I think especially with the soil pH of 6, like really you don't need to. You're okay. Mm-hmm. Just let it go. Okay, I think that's it. Based on everything I saw in the other soil tests, those are really the only things that seemed to be repeatable across them all. Again, the ones where the front yards were amended, soil pHs were a little higher. I think it was like a 6.8 and then like a 7.2. You know, do you need to go buy a bunch of citric acid to bring that down to 6.8 or whatever, your 7.2? No, probably not. But if you want to have fun with ammonium sulfate on that lawn, because I think those are also creepy low on sulfur, then, you know, by all means, have at it. Okay, next one here. Brian Morales says, I don't make mistakes. Just kidding. I had to replace a ligustrum one time because I smoked it. Brian Morales says, I've told the story before when back in the day when I worked at True Green, I had a new client and I can't say who did what wrong because I made it was the Bermuda grass. You know how dead Bermuda grass when it's dormant is like gray. It almost looks like ash, right?
No.
And I pulled up to this lawn and it was ash and it was full of fescue. Like, and the field around it was like a hay field and it was full of fescue. And I'm like, man, look at all these fescue clumps. Well, at the time, what did I have on my truck? I had Riverdale Corsair on my truck. And so I used to do this thing. Okay. Where I would make a saturated solution of ammonium nitrate and add my, Corsair to it. And I would spray fescue clumps with it, and it did a very jam-up job of controlling the fescue clumps. Ryegrass, too. I mean, it would absolutely melt it. Well, you know, again, there's a row of privet around the property. And, of course, as the fescue is making its way from the pasture behind the property into the sodded area, you know, of course, it's moving in between the privets, of course, too, right? So I get all this sprayed. And anyway, I get a phone call a little while, I don't know, a month later. All the privets are dead and wants them replaced. Well, I was like, great, this is awesome. And so True Green asked, I think it was True, I can't remember where I worked. I think it was True, but I don't know. What I asked him was, have you applied anything? And he was like, yes, I sprayed the lawn with diesel fuel.
What?
After that's, it's an old farm thing down here, Ryan. That is a very common farm thing down south. It's like old farm shit, and had done that around the same time that I applied the Corsair. And, so, to this day, was it a tractor applied application of diesel fuel, or was it the Corsair that killed all the privet? I don't know. But that's just one of, I don't know, 150,000 mistakes I've made over my career related to.
That's it?
Grass. One of 150,000.
Well, oh, okay.
I've made some mistakes, and one of those mistakes involved Banville around shade trees planted in the lawn.
Oh.
Okay. And here's the mistake. I give someone on my crew a 16-ounce bottle of Banville, and I told him, you apply this at 2.5 ml per 1,000 square foot, but what does this guy do? Because he was an old-timer. Basically, he was about 20-something years older than me back in 1995. So what this old-timer does is he proceeds to mix up this Banville in a hand sprayer at the rate of an ounce per gallon. And then he starts spot spraying weeds in the lawns in this HOA with this Banville solution at an ounce per gallon. Several trees curled up and died.
It happens. Spreading urea. I've toasted several lawns, all kinds of fun stuff. So, you know, and look, it happens. Greek Geek, I am not qualified to answer that question. I'll tell you that right now. I'm going to save everyone from the drama of it. I just make it clear that I am not qualified to answer that question. T-Dot said, my local feed supply where I get AMS for cheap told me that Simplot will no longer sell them AMS. Is there a supply shortage for AMS? No, there's not a supply shortage for AMS. It sounds like your local feed supply got cut off by Simplot for some other reason that unbeknownst to me or you. I don't think Simplot has run out of AMS at all. So one thing I promise you Simplot's not going to run out of is nitrogen of any form. At all, none, zero. That being said, it's not hard to piss off people in this industry. You have to remember, from a supply, manufacturing, distribution side, this is the most inbred industry in existence.
Incestuous.
Everyone knows everyone. Everyone has worked for everyone, and everyone has banged elbows with everyone.
Yeah.
It is. It is rotten in that way. So that being said, if feed supply has primarily been buying inputs from Simplot and then a small blender up the road had, you know, some cheap, you know, 2,000 pound super sacks or triple 10 that they did in a cement mixer or whatever, and sold it to them for, you know, $10 a bag or $5 a bag or whatever. And the local feed supplies, oh, I can't pass up that good deal. I'm going to get it. And Simplot, just because they can, and, you know, I don't know the terms of their agreement or whatever else. I mean, they may have a contract that said, you know, it was like a non-compete or whatever. Who knows?
Yes.
But they said, as a matter of fact, not only are we not happy about that, we're not going to sell you AMS anymore. It happens.
Not going to sell you anything anymore. Get fucked.
Yeah, that's probably reality. It's probably a lot larger than just AMS.
Sorry, long life.
Everything's gone. Yeah. Everything's gone. I mean, that's what happens when you make a big company like Simplot Med is they can then cut you off.
Yes. And it happens way more than you would think. Because here's the thing, is that it is such a small industry. If you have been around it long enough and know the right people, and when I say long enough, like 10 years, and you know some people, you can make a phone call and you can end a supplier distributor relationship real fast. So,
looking at you, Bo.
And that was on accident. That was purely on accident. And I wrecked it.
I think it was different than my accident.
I did not think he was going to get fired. I wanted to make a point that if you're going to come after me by attempting to go above me to my boss, that everyone, before I opted to even go on air in that scenario, everyone was on board with what I was doing. And I was promised that I had someone in my corner with whatever decision I made. So to attempt to go to my boss and make accusations that I'm drunk and everything else, I think one of them too was that I hate cops, was absolutely insane. And boy, oh boy, did that backfire. So interesting how that ends up working out. Brian Morales said, Dipel Pro. How well does it work with army worms? I only ask because I have a high-end customer who wants to go organic. I've never heard of this. Do y'all know it?
I know all about it, Matt. I know all about it.
Oh, boy. Tell me about it, Ray.
Don't fucking do it.
Don't fucking do it, he said.
And the reason why you don't do it is because Dipel, unless you apply this inside of a covered greenhouse where sunlight doesn't get to the area you sprayed, you have zero residual out of this product. In other words, Brian, what you literally have to do is you literally have to spray this at night when the army worms are actively feeding, or else you're going to get nothing out of this. And right. I know about this because I've tried to use Dipel to control caterpillar-type pests on both turf grass and ornamentals. What a big fail.
Yeah,
and you cannot say that it failed because I didn't apply the product for proper coverage. This application failed because this is not a particularly effective product. If somebody were concerned about toxicity or hazard of pesticides, do you know what I'd actually steer you towards, Brian? I'd actually steer you towards an application of acelaprin.
Yep.
And you know why I say acelaprin for caterpillars? In agriculture, chlorantraniliprole is sold as this product called Coragen. And Coragen is widely labeled for field crops, fruit trees, and vegetables specifically for controlling caterpillars. So, and chlorantraniliprole has zero LD50. In other words, you can't kill someone with acelaprin.
There you go. Ray definitely had the information on that. It was funny. I got a text from someone that said, we got plenty of non-incestuous AMS. Which I thought was creative. I don't know if I can share names on there. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Not right now. That was a good one. Yeah. Jay Farm said, speaking of Anu, when do you start calculating growing degree days after applying for the first time of the year? The next day? The label says 2 to 5 days to start working. What's average? Don't seem to be working yet. Good question.
I don't think it's any different for a new. It should be immediately. Yeah.
I would say immediately. And label says 2 to 5 days to start working. Let me preface this is that with any growth suppression program, in all honesty, it's always the second application where I'm like, hell yeah. Right. It's not like, this is looking good. It goes straight to hell yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I would agree with that.
It's just a thing, especially J Farm, if you started with lower rates, you know, it's that sequential application. And I do recommend, I want to make that clear to everybody right now, because I know Tall Fescue, I watch it at my office, literally in 2 weeks grew 18 inches and it is unfertilized. Thank you to Gerardo for cutting it the other day. My God, It was wild how much it had grown. We got a shit ton of rain. It just exploded out of the ground. But point being is that I understand why people are making PGR applications now. But start low. You don't want to come out of the gate, bronze the shit out of it, warm the grass up to the idea of being retarded for the next 12 weeks or so. No, I literally mean slow growing.
Well, and the other thing too is, as you said, right, this is an effect of amplitude of growth suppression, right? So you're going to get, slightly less than 50%. That's the difference between a new and Trineximpact or T-Nex growth hill, is that the amplitude, how much it suppresses, is not nearly as high, but the length of residual control is a little bit longer, right? It's a little bit more forgiving in that sense. So that being said, right, if we're suppressing growth 50%, but the growth potential of that grass is near 100% because we're in perfect growing conditions, you might look at it and be like, it's kind of working, but not as, because again, you're trying to ramp up amplitude on something that's growing almost as fast as it could possibly grow. It might not seem as though it's doing as good of a job as it actually is, right? And that's, I think, the other component, the temporal or the time component of what Matt's saying about that second application, is you get out of that window, right? Another 2 or 3 weeks now, you make your second application. That growth curve is going to be on the falling side of things too. So keep in mind.
There it is. The let's see here. Where am I? Nick said, I love you, Nick. I love glyphosate. I know you do. I think you hoarded like 6 years of it.
I would like to know what Nick's least favorite. Does he have a least favorite? I mean, I think chemicals and fertilizers is like asking Nick.
Soil tests.
That's true. EPA. Bad news for Nick. Code enforcement.
Yeah. I mean, Nick's a big fan of government agencies, so I don't know.
I don't know how to square that, because the EPA is a government agency. The EPA is a government agency too. How do you square
Nick,
that?
Nick and definitely wants the EPA armed. That's for sure.
Ooh.
Yikes. Nick Kaczynski.
I might be out of my element there.
That's Greek. That's a Greek surname, isn't it?
No, that's
not. Mark Houston says, I have a zoysia lawn in eastern North Carolina. I am trying a more simple approach, getting off the Kool-Aid. What is the best guide to use? I have a zoysia lawn in eastern North Carolina. I'm trying a more simple approach, getting off the Kool-Aid. Oh, okay. What is the best guide to use? My Malic 3 test showed in March a 6.3 pH, really high in P and 53 in K. My yard has some brown spots and treated with fungicide, azoxy, and propiconazole. How do I move forward? Soil tests and some pictures included. Okay. Here is the thing is, are those parts per million or is that pounds per acre?
I'm thinking that's pounds per acre.
I think so too. Because in eastern North Carolina, this seeing these crazy low K levels is like a thing. I don't know why it's a thing, but it's a thing. When I'm talking about the Piedmont and like a really weird soil. So if I had to guess, right? So we're probably looking at, that would be 90 parts per million of P and 26 parts per million, 27 parts per million of K there. This is one of those, and you have a soil pH of 6.3. So a 1:1 in decay, or a 2:1 in decay. So like a 20:0:10, or a 20:0:20, a 10:0:10, or I already said 30:0:15, something of the sort. You're not going to find a 30:0:30. That can't exist. 17:0:17, 18:0:18, however you want to do it. But this would be an instance where I would apply potassium, and that is genuinely it. Now you have zoysia, okay, and zoysia can be finicky. I am going to go out on a limb here and say that I would start fertilizing your zoysia grass later than you want to, and stop fertilizing it earlier than you want to, if that makes sense. You definitely had what looked to be large patch at one point there. But again, I'm making this through a dated picture where already some recovery has started. It could have been ground pearls. It could have been lots of other things. It could have been Pythium for all I know. I can't tell at this point. But the good news is that there is some recovery in it. Shit, it could be probably not nematodes that look like that, but
no.
No.
It there is some recovery that is occurring here, so that's good, and we want to encourage that. But that doesn't mean that you need to push your Zoysia into what zone?
Oh, the push zone. Right?
Yeah.
The push zone, because you know, while you're while you're talking about,
do we pay, we license that?
NNK.
We trademark the push zone.
Overall, Matt, I would suggest that he apply no more than maybe 2 pounds of N.
Even I was going to say three.
I'd say two max, because actually, you see this lawn, to me, this is a 1 pound of N per year lawn. And you know why it's a 1 pound per year lawn? It's high cut, and the clippings are probably not collected. So you are not going through a lot of nutrients. So there's no need to push a lot.
Here's the other thing, Mark, is you got to understand, chasing color in Zoysia grass rarely has a positive return on investment, right? You can do it, but you understand that you have to pay that back, right? It's like it's like doing a mountain of cocaine. It's really fun while you're doing it, and then when you're done, you immediately have to start writing checks back, right? Or MDMA, you know, same thing. It's like, boy, I am really on the roller coaster, but then you have to get off the roller coaster, and it's not good after that. So, point being is I would avoid chasing color, especially during its recovery here, and just do what you're supposed to do. So minimal rates. It probably would not hurt that at the first sign of any disease, going ahead and applying fungicide in this rate, because you are in recovery mode. If you wanted to be on a preventative, right? And so, you know, probably two applications in the spring, two in the fall. I would not be against that at all. He said he has not applied any fertilizer yet. I think that is a good thing. I think that is a good thing. It's May 1st. We've had some temperature swings. It was still cool this morning here. So, you know, letting it go even to Memorial Day, you're not going to hurt anything, right? And I promise you, the fact that you have some green up in those areas, Mark, is like, that's good. That is good. Because usually they're like dead to the ground. And that's no good. Jesse said I would avoid Zoysia, and I just want to comment on this. And Ben said Zoysia's a problem. Y'all are assholes. I'm going to get that out of the way. Zoysia is yes, thank you, J Pink. It is a phenomenal grass type. I love it. I absolutely love it. And it deserves more respect than it gets. However, I do want to make this that if it is Xeon, I take all of it back, and it can burn in hell. Mark, if you have Xeon in there, you need to go ahead and bulldoze it, get it out, and put down Meyer Z52 because it's a superior turf type. That's all. Brady said next week going out with Dorentis with DepMax, half gallon per 1,000 of water value. Would this be okay of a water value? What is Dorentis? All these new products.
It's off patent.
Clorhexidinilprol. I would say sure.
At low volume.
Yeah, half gallon per 1,000, sure. But here's the caveat. After it's been applied, no mowing until water in the form of irrigation or rain has taken it into the soil. Because that low volume application is all stuck to the leaf blades of the grass.
Gotta water it in.
Yeah. Low volume, that you're fine to do low volume, but here's where you need to pay the piper. You then need to ensure that it gets moved off of the grass and into the soil where it actually belongs.
Yeah, the rest of it is a micronutrient mix, so you know, no issues there. You know, do what you got to do. It is what it is. Let's see. Do. Then we have Ben Worthman said your mom is a TNO. I was trying to think of a witty comeback. Didn't have one.
Tits in an orifice?
I think that actually
that's 2024. That's 2024.
You put it as gender neutral as well too. Nick says Shaddix needs an OnlyFans. You'll have to take that up with him. That's absurd. And does anyone grow warm season grass anymore? Is that out of style? You got to remember, Nick, is that the United States is way more populated up north than it is down south. And so I know it feels like everyone is growing cool season grass. It's just because they have a higher population density out there. We all know.
That springtime is craziness time in
South is better.
Cool season country. You know,
this is true too.
Springtime is craziness time. So I get it. I understand. And I'm here for these people that their lawn is making them go crazy in the spring. I mean, I'm here for it. Okay.
It'll be okay.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
Where am I?
Where are you?
Okay. I am up here. Let's see. SVT Bill 89. I was a wee chap in 89. Said, I assume y'all already discussed recognition of Fusilade 2 combination. Do y'all remember what episode? Nope. I don't remember at all, as a matter of fact. I'm trying to remember. We have talked about it, and I think we did talk about it when we had the Centipede guys on, as a matter of fact. Ah, yes. That was one of the big discussions we had with it. So if you go back and you do the Centipede group, I am drawing a
did we
man, my
was
brain.
That a Burn and Return episode?
It was. Oh, that was a, I think.
Was it a Burn and Return?
No, it was when it was when we had the Facebook group. Thursday. On.
Yeah, Facebook group.
We may have done it. I don't know.
And Brandon, we had the Facebook group and Brandon all on a Thirsty Thursday, and we wrapped about Centipede
Steve,
and
everyone else. Yeah.
Yeah, and you were cringing because we were talking about your least favorite grass.
I think we called it Thirsty Thursday with Brandon, Brandyn. However, we had more people on. Yeah. No, that was just when we had Brandon on. Damn it!
Holy shit!
What is it doing? Plug your product earlier in the show, man. Look at that exchange rate, backwoods 69 Canadian, man. You gotta, man. What is going on
down here?
Japan, right? Chaotic. Damn it! I cannot find this episode. Am I?
Oh,
what did we call that?
We called it something. We called goofball. That's why I think it was.
We called it something.
I think it was
Centipede. It was a Centipede show. That was what we called it. It's a Thirsty Thursday Centipede show, if I remember rightly, because it was nothing but talking about how to maintain Centipede without killing it.
Yeah. But I can't. It's not working.
It's not working.
Why is it... When I search the Grass Factor Centipede Central Lawn Care is coming up. He's not the Grass Factor. Maybe he is. I don't know.
We did it back in 2023.
Yeah.
Brandon. It's spelled YN.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. Was the rest of the group on then, or is that just when we talked to Brandon?
I was definitely there because I sat. I think I said three words the entire time because I didn't know shit.
That was just when we had Brandon on, which was a great episode, by the way. But we had
the Centipede Grass Show. Here it is. Burn and Return 79. Put your link in here.
Burn and Return 79. There it is. Damn it. Good call, yeah. Jay Pink, on the burn and return.
I guess it was also a burn and return as well.
I'm getting old. I'm getting old.
That's the case. We titled that one Lawn Pods Moron Boron, is what I have it in the Notion. And then I think we renamed it for them because their group was confused. That's why I couldn't find it.
They're like, there's about 8,000 people on Facebook to be like, these three guys are fucking weird.
I don't understand. Why is it moron and Tide Pods?
Supposed to eat Tide Pods and pee on the lawn or what?
My neighbor's dog died eating Tide Pods. What are they doing? Yeah. Chuck Benzing said, question for you three. What's the appropriate timing on putting out the Don Featherston pink flamingos?
It's a Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, why not?
I'll tell you what. You want to jazz them up, Chuck. You go down to Z-Bart or something like that and get you some truck nuts and put that on each one of the flamingos there when you put it out on the lawn. That's the way to do it.
All right, let me scoot back up here. Lawn Radiance, Derek, hey. Nebraska,
Eric,
survived the tornadoes. Man, iron cutters, shit.
Yeah, a lot of tornadoes. Very, was very
wild as hell. Another twistery. Another band went through today. Yeah, God Almighty. Hope they are able to rebuild. And man, no more loss of life. Good God Almighty, scary as hell. I just got the soul test done. From my understanding, it's a Mailer 3 test. If you got some time on the show, would appreciate a quick review. All right. This is in, some of it is in pounds per acre. Some of it is parts per million. Like, for instance, sulfur is in parts per million. However, we have phosphorus in pounds per acre. For those of you that are looking at a soil test and you want to convert pounds per acre to parts per million, whether that's because you're looking at something and you want to make that conversion, you just divide it by two. Real simple. You convert pounds per acre to parts per million by dividing by two. So here we have roughly 1,900 parts per million of calcium, which is quite normal. We have 395 parts per million of magnesium, which is incredibly high. Maybe not incredibly high, but that's very high. We have potassium at roughly 187 parts per million, which is really high too. Then we'll look at the soil pH of 7.4. So when I'm looking at this, right, the only thing that's standing out is even being remotely close to low, would be sulfur. So, and you have a soil pH of 7.4. So welcome to an ammonium sulfate only program, my friend.
Yep.
Count the dollars you will be saving this year. Count them. Yep. A one.
Plenty of ANS for you.
A three. Easy. Easy peasy. Oh, you loyal, degenerate bastard, you Lawn Radiance. Backwood said, I gave up a bunch off money percent offer for a great seed blend, my fellow Canadians. I'm an idiot. Don't worry about that, because you're on the show with three idiots here. By the way, Backwoods, like I said, come on the show, man. You ain't gotta worry about
that. Yeah, he'd be like great. That. He'd be great to come on. Guys, I had a conversation with him once.
I'm scared you guys are gonna rip me a new asshole. I'm like, dude, get out of here. We're not gonna rip.
Hey, the only reason we rip you an asshole is if you were given, 3% charity discounts like Ron Henry at the holidays. Guys, listen, I'm gonna catch you a break. Real break.
But Ron isn't even risking his own capital where Backwoods is actually putting up his own capital. You know, I mean, that's like already he's got balls twice the size of old Don Lemon Henry there.
Jeez.
Ben Worthman said Diesel is going on the bent green. Don't
no, do it, don't do it. Don't do
the bent grass already bothering Ben.
Just deaf. No diesel.
Yes. Yes. Let's do diesel exhaust fluid. It's just urea. It's much safer. Brody said, I've been looking at stripe seed, certified grass seed. I have a lot of poa that I don't have time to burn out this year, so I'll be looking to give it hell next year. Look, here's the thing. Like I was talking about, Stripes, you can have all the blue tag certifications you want. POA spreads easy as fuck. Easy as hell, my friend. So you can buy all the blue tag certified, guaranteed, gold tag, triple net bottom positive HF your seed you want in the world. But does that mean you're not going to have any POA come up during the grow-in? Abso-fucking-lutely not, my friend. Like I was talking about earlier, with POA control, even with glyphosate, again, you know, 80% effective in the fall, you know, 40 to 60% effective in the spring. It's just not that effective. You got to get a fallow. Do you have enough time to do a fallow and still get your seed up? Probably not. It's just tough, man. It is tough. That being said, if it's POA annua, ethafumisate is your friend big time in that scenario. If it's POA triv, well, then, you know, it is what it is.
We're sorry.
Good luck. Good luck with velocity. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Really, I am. I'm sorry. Casper said Monument single packs work so good on POA. They do. However, they do kill cool season grass, and you're not going to regrow cool season grass after a Monument application for a short period of time.
Not that year, Matt. At least. Not that year. I mean, maybe, let's see, you do it this year. You might be able to reseed, say, next fall, next year, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. Monument has some longevity. That's the good and the bad of it.
It is by anything trifloxy is a favorite of mine, regardless of the pesticide. If the molecule starts with trifloxy, I'm a huge fan. Trifloxy methamphetamine, absolute killer, knockout. Those fluorinated groups there, they hit you a little different. They bounce a little harder. Varied Mileage said, I went to my local landscape supply today for some AMS and was greeted by what? I said ammonium sulfate. What's that? Landscape supply did not know what ammonium sulfate was. This is actually quite okay. I don't know why this is common, but it is incredibly common. I can't tell you the number of distributors I've gone into and asked for ammonium sulfate, and they're like, why would you want that? And of course, it's because they don't have it, right? And so stocking a commodity, right? That's a commodity. People typically stock urea. They don't typically stock ammonium sulfate. Not normally. If it's a grower type scenario, whether it be hydroponic growers or field irrigation drip emitter growers or specialty ag or even just ag period, you'll probably find it in 51-pound bags as a spray adjuvant or something of the sort. So in ag retailers and stuff, it's probably a lot easier to find because it's used as a spray adjuvant with glyphosate all day long. However, just walking into you know your typical landscape supplier sells mulch and you know some high quality plants or whatever, and they probably got, you know, I don't know, 10 or 15 different SKUs of fertilizer, and you ask for ammonium sulfate, they're probably gonna look at you cross eyed because they're like, huh, what's that? Is that triple 10? Is it Osmocote? I ain't never heard of it. I don't know. So anyway, that's not to, just so you don't panic over it. I just want to paint the picture. That's actually quite normal. However, am I the only one in my neighborhood that has POA triv? What were you going to say, Ray?
However, the flip side to this is that, you know, when AMS is sold in 51 pound bags as a spray additive, it is extremely inexpensive, inexpensive. It is about half the price of the fancy Nancy coated urea fertilizers that the landscape suppliers want to sell you as lawn fertilizer. It's about half the price in most cases. And on top of that, in real world conditions, if you actually need the sulfur and the acidification, that AMS is going to get the lawn way greener than the expensive stuff that the landscape supplier is trying to sell you.
Yep. Flaxseed Peruvian flake. That's funny, Grass. If you know, you know. Here's the thing, Brody, is that you think you're the only one in the neighborhood with poetry. Everyone else has junk lawns and horrible soil. The reality is that you probably can't see it. Because of the junk lawn and everything else that's growing in it, you probably don't notice it. The only way that you can see it in your lawn is that you probably have really nice, different shade of green grass. So it stands out. However, if you have a lawn full of wild onions and clover and dandelions and hairy bittercress all over the place, your poet triv probably isn't going to look so out of place, right? And so you got colors that are all melding together, and so there's no reference point to make it easy to see unless you're standing on top of it, parting the weeds back to see what's closer to the surface there. I remember henbit lawns, right? Well, I would pull up to, and this is, anyone who's treated lawns in the South has seen someone, a Bermuda lawn that was on a lawn care program, skipped an entire year, and then you go out and you treat it, and it is literally henbit from property line to property line, and you spray it, and you are so excited to come back because you're going to feel like the greatest applicator in the whole world. And then you realize now it's poa from property line to property line. And you're like, damn it, where did it all come from? And then the homeowner, of course, will accuse you of spraying seeds into their lawn. Anyone who has worked in the South has had that happen to them more than once. You sprayed weeds into my lawn because I had the henbit growing before, and now I have this strange green weed growing in my grass now. Because they're not used to seeing it because it was buried by the henbit, and then you gave the opportunity for it to grow. And of course, what does it do? It grows. All my Southern boys, someone co-signing my bullshit there. Surely to goodness, you've been accused of spraying weed seeds into people's lawns before. Maybe that was just a Memphis thing. I don't know. What is up, Super TA? By the way, Super TA, I want to get this out of the way. Super TA, you totally misinterpreted Ryan's answer last week. We all went back and watched that, and Super T, you completely misinterpreted it. You got to remember, and I want to explain it, and I'll let Ryan talk. But Ryan is coming at this from the standpoint that Ryan was one of the early people that was on actual research sites of Provista. And has dealt with a lot of different cultivars that are used specifically for sports turf. And so when he's talking about aggressive growers, he's talking about things that were genetically bred for sports turf. So while your Provista may be growing at a juiced rate compared to your Blue Bank, where Ryan saw it in research plots would be, you know, rates somewhere upwards of like 6-7 pounds of nitrogen per year, which isn't normally seen on a home lawn. So when he's reacting to it, you got to remember that is what his experience is on the research plots. And so he's deducing that while talking and the rest of the show is going on. So I just, Bill, I want to make that extremely clear that I promise you wildly misinterpreted that. And I love you, and it's okay. It happens. Have you ever seen me lose my shit over absolutely nothing? This guy's a fucking completely weirdo.
I am. I am a complete and total weirdo, and I own it. It's okay.
Ryan, did I leave anything out there?
No, I was just taking it all in and trying to square in my head how could it? And like I said, if it's well fed, then sure, but. It kind of blew me away of like, oh wow, like it's actually growing that fast. So just trying to take it all in. So it's all good.
Anyway, Bill, we do this live, and so I promise don't read too much into what we have going on over here because I was going to say we're half retarded anyway, but Jay Pink bleeped me on that earlier. So I might not be able to say that. We're half window lickers anyway.
Real quick, I want to get this in too. Gray Fox said, I had to tell Dickens what AMS was a couple months ago.
Oh, dear.
Not I had to do the same thing I had to do the same thing. So I feel your pain. And the guy that Justin is still there. Justin should know. Gray Fox, if you're in there and you see Justin, tell him Matt Martin said, hey, he knows me very well. There used to be another guy in there that was the store manager, and it was a very, very bad deal, and Dickens let him go, and I think that was a giant mistake. It's not that Justin isn't qualified for the job. Justin is insanely qualified for the job. He's a great manager. But the guy who was in there was also really good, too, and it was the only distributor that I actually ended up like doing business with, because when I walked into the store, they would leave me alone and let me go roam the chemical closet and the floor and pick what I wanted. And they didn't try to sell me shit. If I told them I wanted to buy something, they would get it for me. And so it was nice. And most of the time I just walked in the door and they'd be like, go ahead, Matt. And I would go pick my own shit out of the back because they were nice to me that way. But I did get butt hurt when they let go of my friend. But the reprieve there is that Justin is still there, and I do like Justin. He's a good guy. Let's see here. What is this? This is the uncensored test from.
No.
Okay.
We already covered that. Yeah. There were some questions, I just threw it there. But that was the last of it. Super TA's Zoysia Amazon purchase was the.
the push zone is now belongs to us.
We will come.
We might have to build a website for that. I don't know. I might have to do that. That is something else.
The quote with bullets whizzing overhead. We'll start with that.
Yep. So I was just going to say real quick. We do. If you are interested in non-incestuous ammonium sulfate, we had a guest on named Paul Hurst. Demay is going to be a little critical of that term, but Paul Hurst, we had on the show, Greenspro, by the way, go. If you do not follow him on Twitter, it is one of the few. My Twitter feed, when I open it, is all like doom, gloom, end of the world. War is going on. You know, Russians are being executed at point blank range in a trench while they're trying to throw grenades at Ukrainian guys. That is my Twitter feed, right? And then I'll have a nice video from Paul Hurst on there, and I'm like, oh, life isn't so bad after all. By the way, Paul, if you're still listening, that Greenspro hat, that is an absolute no from me. I'm not gonna do it. It's too Bill Murray. The Wuka hat, though. Let me tell you right now, Paul Hurst. I wear my Wuka hat everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. And not only J-Pink has humor. That's funny. I would look terrible in that hat. I love it when people ask me, why does your hat say Wuka on it? And I said, because today I chose to wake up and kick ass. And I always get this bewildered look that did he really just say that? And then it sinks in and they're like, that's pretty cool. I love that reaction. Oh yeah, that's pretty cool. Anyway, that's funny. Where am I? I think that's it. I think we've made it through all the questions. Thank you everybody for tuning in tonight. It is Wednesday. Do you know what that means? That means we are going to go hang out on the after show at patreon.com/burnerreturn. You can come hang out with us. Let me warn you on the front end. We are going to be reviewing lawn care videos that we find on the internet, but we find that DeMay and the rest of the team finds. And we will be giving our first watch impressions. And it is
offensive.
It's offensive
for us to watch. For us to watch, it's not offensive. We're not being offensive. We're simply reacting to the offensive nature of these videos, of this content.
I meet my offended level with an equal level of offensiveness. That is a conundrum.
That's accurate.
I don't know how I got that out.
That's accurate.
Vicious, said Jago, and I think that's accurate as well too. It is vicious.
We're going to start off light and ramp ourselves up tonight. I think.
I'm like a Chihuahua mixed with Pomeranian with rabies. I would say my personality is a little bit like, as I watch these, I'm very bitey and overly sensitive and you know, just weird. But anyway, I digress. You can check it out, patreon.com/burnreturn. But the cool thing about that is that when you do sign up is that you get to enter a community of it's predominantly men. And we do have a few women there. Well, shout out to TK. My wife pops her head in from time to time, typically only at the time of the GIE, though, because she's like, you guys are fucking weirdos. she knows firsthand. I mean, she married my dumb ass. So joke's on you, bitch. You fucked up. That's also a joke. that's also a joke. Yikes. Kinda. Somewhat. Maybe not a joke. She did fuck up. but you get to enter a community of people that have a couple of interests. Always number one is learning. I think learning is at the forefront of exactly what goes on, but also in an effort that no matter what you do day in and day out, it's the eternal quest to do better and be better in all aspects of your life. And that is my favorite thing about it. Yes, we have a good time, but at the end of the day, it's all about doing better, being better, and learning how to make that a reality. And you can only join that community at patreon.com/burnreturn. All right, we're heading out of here. Y'all have a good one. We'll see you on Sunday for the live recording. Bye. Happy Asian month and stuff.